Good morning, church. It's wonderful to see everyone out today. To see that we have guests with us as we do most services. And let me say, welcome to the church on Livingston Avenue. We are so glad that you're here. I hope that you brought a Bible with you. And I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, as we're going to be exploring the scriptures, God's word together in that place. I want you to see what we're talking about today in the Bible. And so if you didn't bring one with you, don't feel bad. You'll bring one next time. But there's a Bible in the pew there. And so go ahead and take that out and let's open up to Luke chapter 17 together. Luke chapter 17 together. While we're getting situated to study God's word, for our first time guests, you may want to text the word welcome to the number on the screen. That's a way for you to begin to connect with the congregation here, and we can find ways that we might be able to serve you for God's glory. And of course, there's a connection card on the inside of the program. We can place our prayer requests, commitments, things such as this on the card. And when we pass baskets in a few moments, you can put that card in the basket, in the collection basket. That would just be wonderful. Be wonderful. Glad that we are together. I trust that we have found Luke 17. This morning I want to share with you a lesson I call 1 out of 10. In the first century, lepers were the walking dead. And that condition rendered them lonely and hopeless. One of the wonderful miracles we read about the Lord performing in the Gospels is that He from time to time healed lepers. He cleansed lepers. He gave them new life. And on one occasion, the Lord healed the lepers, 10 lepers. And yet what's remarkable about this is that only one of them returned to say thank you, to express thanksgiving to the Lord. I want to look at this scripture together with you for a few moments this morning. It's in Luke 17 and beginning in verse 11. The Bible says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well.'" That's an interesting thing to me. The idea that 9 out of 10 would be ungrateful, seemingly ungrateful. That only 1 out of 10 takes the time and trouble to go back to praise God and to thank the one who brought the healing. 1 out of 10. Now, I'm not sure if ingratitude is something that affects 90% of the population, but it could. And I will tell you this, that if only 1 out of 10 people on earth is going to be thankful to God, it needs to be God's people. It needs to be Christian people. We are to be 1 out of 10 people, truly grateful people. So that's what we're going to study about this morning. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Here's going to be the challenge. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. That each day this week, you will pray a prayer of pure thanksgiving. Now, I know I'm talking to a room full of God's people. I bet you pray more than once a day. But here's the challenge, that you may make one prayer a day purely thanksgiving. We're in a season in our culture. I think it's going to help you to achieve this. Okay, I think it is. But we need to learn to be truly thankful and to express our thanksgiving. Now, that's not on the paper. You need to write that on the paper. Daily thanksgiving prayer. Now, some of you might have already been doodling and you drew Thanksgiving and you drew turkeys, because I know that's on our minds a little bit. Daily Thanksgiving prayer. And once you've written those three words, let's go to the scriptures together. And number one in the notes, where are the 9? Where are the 9? Wouldn't that be a natural thing to thank God? Isn't that just common courtesy of someone doing such a great thing, a wonderful thing, as to save your life and heal you of leprosy? But in the end, there is only one who returns to thank God, and Jesus asks, where are the 9? That's right there in verse 17. Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the nine? Some time ago, Edwin and I were talking about this very parable. Not parable, it's very teaching, this very episode. Where are the nine? And Edwin knew where they were. And he began to tell me, oh, I know where the nine went. And as he began to express this to me, I thought, you know, you're onto something there. I started jotting them down and taking notes. Here's where the nine are. Here's where the nine are. One of them said, you know what? He knows that I'm thankful. I don't have to say that. He's Jesus. He knows everything. Why would I need to say that? And this second leper, he goes, well, I was getting better anyway. You know, it might have been clearing up. We were having a good day. And then just, you know, coincidentally, right? Here's what the third fellow probably said. Well, I went to the priest. Jesus didn't do much. He told me to take a walk and go see a guy. But who did the walking? I did. So I need to say anything thank you to Jesus about that? Number four, I don't see others giving thanks. Why should I? Well, that guy had a point. Most of the people were not going back to say thank you. So why jump in that crowd? Number five, the fifth guy said, well, someone else is taking care of it. I'm sure that when Samaritan leper goes back and says thank you, he will express my regards, right? I'll get included in on that. So we sent a guy. Number six. Well, since it's gone, maybe I didn't have leprosy to begin with. Ooh, here's my eyes. Maybe why my eyes were playing tricks on me. Number seven, the priest must have healed me. You know what Jesus said? Go show yourself to the priest. So I show up to the priest. Why do I'm healed? Confusion here about the power of this miracle. Number eight, well, I'm not sure that it'll last. I better wait to say thank you. It looks pretty good today. But what about tomorrow? Maybe we need to give this a week. And then I'll be thankful. Then I know it sticks. Maybe we need to test the Lord in his healing a little bit here. And then number nine, well, I'll thank Jesus later. We'll get around to that. He really did me a solid on this. And I will thank him. But it's going to be later. Well, you know, this Edwin and I were having a little fun with all that. The Bible doesn't say they made those statements. That's fiction. In fact, we're not told why only one returned, but it tells us Jesus noticed only one return. Not only did he notice only one return, but who was it? The foreigner, the Samaritan. Here are the people that of the Jesus mind, or excuse me, the Jewish mind of that day, they don't necessarily have the background of worshiping the true God and having all their priorities straight. But I'll tell you something wonderful I see there, that just because your family doesn't know God and your family never expressed thanksgiving to God doesn't mean that you can't know God, doesn't mean that you can't serve God and thank God. You can, and you should. Jesus noticed only one return. Jesus noticed it was this Samaritan fellow. He becomes the hero in the sense of the story in this way. He's the good example to follow. But I look at this list at what other people might think, why they do not thank God as they should. Have you ever thought any of these attitudes? Have you ever slipped into some of these attitudes yourself? I mean, God knows I'm thankful. He knows everything. Why do I need to say it? Well, God didn't do all that much. I'm my own person. I pull myself up from the bootstraps and I'm responsible. Do I need to thank God for everything I do? Well, you know, I don't see anybody else around thanking God. I might be the weird one to pause and to give thanks to God. Of course, I'm thankful. Of course, I feel that way. And so I'm going to tell Jesus. I'm going to communicate this to Jesus. I'm going to do it later. I'll do it later on. I want to encourage us, brothers and sisters in Christ, to be 1 out of 10 people, to be grateful people. We need to give thanks. As the Bible teaches us, the Holy Spirit tells us in Hebrews 13 and verse 15, therefore by him, by Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That thanksgiving to God is a component of praise and genuine praise. We must be thankful people. Or in Psalm 107 verse 15, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. What's the psalmist say? There's a lot of people who are missing this, the goodness of God. And so let the people of God speak up and give him thanks. I don't know if it's really 9 out of 10 people that never give thanks to God. But I'm afraid that the percentage is entirely too high. We need to be thankful people. 1 out of 10 people, truly grateful people. And I'll tell you why. Number two in your notes, ingratitude is a sinful attitude. Being unthankful is wrong. And if I was to go around the room and ask you, hey, would somebody name a sin? Tell me a sin. I imagine ingratitude would not make the top 10 list. I mean, when we think of sins, when we think of doing something wrong against God, we talk about behaviors like murder and adultery. I never did anything like that. We might name some attitudes sisters to unthankfulness. We might come up with pride. And we might come up with selfishness. But will we actually come up with ingratitude and unthankfulness? I don't know. And yet in Romans chapter 1 in verse 21, as the Apostle Paul talks about the wickedness of a pagan world, forgetting God and falling into all manner of idolatry and evil. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, the scripture says, and because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You don't know God. That's a part of a lack of thanksgiving. I don't know God. I'm not thankful to God. And that sets people on a path they do not want to be on. That brings us to a world we do not want to see. Likewise, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. In perilous times, the scripture says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Unthankfulness is one of those sins that marks perilous times, along with being slanderers and saying evil against people, along with being lovers of money and lovers of themselves. Selfishness, greed, covetousness, wickedness, it goes along with a lack of thanksgiving. I'm telling you, it is wrong, and it's just wrong to be selfish, to be ungrateful. And we don't want to be that way. I don't want to be that way. We don't want to be part of the 9. We want to be 1 out of 10 people, grateful people, thankful people. How do we do that? Number 3 in your notes, how do we become the 1 out of 10 person? How do we feed and nurture and cultivate gratitude in our heart and express it to God, to whom it is due? Well, let's do what this Samaritan leper did. I'm going to show with you from the text 3 things he did. It pleased the Lord by his thanksgiving to be a 1 out of 10 person, a grateful person. Number 1, recognize your blessings. Recognize your blessings. And what this scripture says in verse 15, notice with me. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. He saw that he was healed. He saw this blessing from Christ. Now what can happen is that we can be so blessed in so many ways for so long, we don't even realize we're being blessed anymore. It is just striking to me that 9 out of 10 lepers couldn't even realize and how quickly they forgot what the Lord Jesus Christ did for them. He'd done a really big thing for them. The Lord has done so much for you. Done many great things for me. He does things for us daily. And the challenge of receiving something good on a regular basis is that we come to expect it. We stop seeing it as a gift. We stop seeing it as a blessing. We think that somehow I am entitled. I deserve this from God's hand. Oh, how easy it is to develop some entitlement attitude. Just think about it. So often we will spend much time asking for some new blessing from God, right? Perhaps we even complain a little bit to ourselves and grumble because we didn't get the blessing we asked for yesterday, or we don't seem like God's answering our prayer in the way we want when we want. And we can forget to thank God for all the blessings that he has given us, that we have received up through to this day. We forget to be thankful. We have so much. Go around a room and say, well, I got a comfortable home and I got a couple of cars and we have clean water and we have nice air and my children get education. In fact, education is so ubiquitous in our country, your kids get in trouble if they don't go to school and learn how to read and write. You know how different that is from so many parts of the world? Wow! We are blessed. So blessed. Clean air and good health. And after enjoying these things for so long, we might begin to take them for granted. Not only to take it for granted, but really truly to expect it. It's always got to be this way. This is the way it should be. To such a degree that if any of these things are missing for even a short time. You think about it. When power lines go down in a storm, in a bad storm. Is that when you pray and you thank God for the wonderful power and how wonderful it's great? Or is that when you're complaining about the linemen? What are they doing? Why isn't this fixed yet? This is nuts. It's crazy. I'm living in Florida without air conditioning. Which is awful. don't know how people were doing that for centuries before the last 100 years. I don't know. And we just expect it. We're not grateful. We need to be grateful and not fuss and complain. We can't take God's goodness for granted. His gifts, His loving kindness, His grace. We got to recognize that we are blessed. It's like that old gospel song we sing sometimes. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. That's about having a heart and cultivating a heart that says, I will give thanks. Now, so we need to recognize our blessing. He saw he was healed. He saw he was blessed. We need to recognize all the wonderful things God has given us. We'll talk more about that in a second. But here's the second thing he does. How to be a 1 out of 10 person? Go to the source of the blessing. What's he do in verse 15? We read in that text, he saw that he was healed. Then it says, returned. Returned. He returned. He wanted to go back to the one that healed him. He wanted to go back to the source of the blessings. I want you to think about that. He saw the source of his blessing was Jesus Christ, God Almighty, through Jesus Christ. I need to go back to the one who gave. I need to go back to the giver. This week, in our society, we're going to hear a lot of important people and people with microphones give speeches about Thanksgiving and how important it is that we're going to have Thanksgiving. And I tell you, there's going to be a very audible silence, a very important omission about who to thank. Who you're giving Thanksgiving to. Okay? And we can never leave that part out. Got to go to the source. That's God. It's not about being generically thankful. It's I'm thanking God. I recognize my blessing, where it came from. I go to the source. And sometimes we can miss the source of our blessings. But God is ultimately the source of our blessings. James 1 verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. It goes back to God. In Matthew 5 verse 45, we are to be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. It's not that God just gives good things and blesses people who are Christians. He is a gift giver to this world, and even the unjust benefit from some of his grace. We who are recipients of his grace in Christ, we must lead the way in thanksgiving. In Acts chapter 17, verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. And here is the argument that there is a God who gives us life, allows us to move, who gives us our being. And whether you want to call him by his name given in the Bible or not, it is true. I say it that way because Paul's declaring an unknown God to them. But the recognition is there is a God who is a good, just, loving gift giver. He is a benevolent God. I've heard prayers led publicly from time to time by the men in the church. God, forgive us for the sins, even the sins we don't know about, even the sins we've done in ignorance. I'm going to suggest to you that God gives us so much, we need to start praying the prayer, God, thank you for the blessings we don't even know about, how you have blessed us in our ignorance. He gives us that much. He gives us all the time. We need to pray that prayer. And we must be grateful to recognize as best we can those whom God is using to bless us. You know, here's God Almighty acting, power through Jesus Christ, God the Son. Jesus is blessing this leper and cleansing him and healing him. Now I ask you, who has God used to bless you? Who has God used to provide for you? We need to say thank you. Can we recognize in his providence to thank the doctor that gave you some medicine? What about the doctor that gave you some medicine at a time you couldn't really afford it? What a blessing that was. When we lived in Tennessee, our pediatrician was a dear brother in Christ. And there was a few times I had sick kids. And don't you know he found some samples of the medicines for my children? It really blessed us. It really helped us. And I believe God was using him. I think about the sisters. And you know, in the congregation, and one's having a baby and the other one's having the baby. And what's that allow you to do? It allows you to swap maternity clothes and allows you to swap items for the babies and all those sorts of things. And what a blessing that is. What a help. What an encouragement. You know, I think about those times when the local churches come around you in your difficult moment and the cards were coming in or the prayers. There was a visit. There was money. There was goods or whatever the need was. And God used the church to provide for you and bless for you. Think about how the parents have guided you and protected you and provided for you. And I tell you, you'd all be so proud of your high schoolers, you parents of high schoolers, because we did a little exercise this morning. And we squeezed every little last bit of Thanksgiving out of our hearts to make a prayer list on the board. And you know how many of them said, we're thankful for our parents? And then they begin enumerating reasons why. Well, I know my parents have made some sacrifices to provide for me. They talked about things like that. Doing a great job with your kids, their parents. They're learning about some Thanksgiving. We can be thankful. We can be thankful how God has blessed us with a spouse. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Amen. That's God blessing me with a spouse. To help me grow in Christ, to help one another raise up a family and go to heaven. And I thank God for my spouse. And what about Jesus Christ? Oh, what God has given us in Jesus Christ. Oh, how God has blessed us in Christ. What the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, the Holy Spirit tells us there that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We could begin to talk about and do whole sermons about everything that could fall under the heading of every spiritual blessing. And we'd be talking about things like the glorious gift of God in Christ, forgiveness. And we're thankful, and redemption, and we're thankful, and reconciliation, and we're so thankful, and a new birth, a new life, and we're thankful, and hope for tomorrow, and hope for heaven, and we're thankful, and the peace that we have in Christ, and the joy that's in Christ, and we thank God. I hope we thank God that we go to the source and thank him. And I'll tell you this morning that you can be in Christ. You can have every spiritual blessing in Christ. You can move from the place where you have been a beneficiary of this common goodness and common grace of God to salvation in Christ, the ultimate gift, the ultimate grace in Jesus Christ and his gospel, who died for your sins and rose again to bring you remission of sins and new life in him. The Bible says in Galatians 3 and verse 26 that you are all sons of God through faith in Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You can become a child of God today if you would believe his gospel. If you would be baptized, immersed in water to put on Christ. So many times it's just kind of easy to go through some of these teachings in the Gospels and look at particular healings and see a spiritual analogy. And, you know, the one about a physical healing and a spiritual analogy and the one about leprosy is kind of easy with leprosy and sin. Sin creates a terrible gulf between myself and between God. And notice where all these lepers were when Jesus comes down the road. They're far off. Calling out to him. No, the lepers couldn't come near the people because they're unclean and they're sick and they're dying. And sin is progressive. It tears on us worse and worse like leprosy, deteriorating the flesh. And sin is disgusting in the eyes of a holy God. We disgust ourselves when we realize at times how far we have fallen short. I've disappointed myself. I've disappointed my loved one. I've disappointed my God. That's how sin does. Leprosy was such a lonely thing. You got that disease, you needed to cut yourself off from your family. You become a pariah of society. Sin's a lonely thing. How we cut ourselves off from the world around us. And leprosy ended in death. That's where sin ends. That the wages of sin is death. And yet over and against all of that, here is Jesus Christ who cleanses and heals and brings life. And what he did for a leper physically 2,000 years ago, he can make your soul whole today through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The third thing in this text this fellow did to be 1 out of 10, to be a grateful person, is then he thanked the giver. He remembered and recognized his blessing. He went to the source of it. And he gave thanks. He did it. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. Two things to notice here. He glorified God with a loud voice. He fell down on his face at Jesus' feet. Here's a grateful fellow and he doesn't care who knows it. Here's a grateful fellow and he's not worried it might make a little scene. He doesn't care who sees it. He's going to give thanks. And my prayer for my heart and for yours is that our hearts could be overwhelmed with gratitude. With thanksgiving that justly pours out and we can't hold it in. And how thanksgiving colors our relationship with God and our walk with the Lord. The thankful attitude can come out in so many ways. I think about someone asking you, on a Sunday or a Wednesday night, why are you going to church? Why do you go to church? Because I'm thankful. Because I'm thankful. I don't go to church because I think if I go there 50 times, then God loves me. And I don't go to church because I'm trying to earn a place in heaven. It's not about that. But it's because I'm forgiven. Because I have the hope of heaven. What else can I do but be thankful? Grace can never be repaid. But we can be thankful. We can learn to be thankful. Grace is not repaid. Grace is acknowledged. We can be thankful. And so let us be thankful people. 1 out of 10 people. Grateful people. To the glory of God through Jesus Christ, who has given us every good thing. I thank you so much for your good attention. I invite you to put your notes away, put your Bibles away, because Brother Tim's going to come forward and lead us in some more wonderful song worship. Praise to God, thanksgiving to God in song. I hope that you are motivated. I hope that you are encouraged to take up a challenge this week to each day pray one prayer of pure thanksgiving. We're not going to do the requests in this prayer. It's going to be about thanksgiving. And to try to jog some of the content for that prayer, there's even some questions there in the program that might help you with that. I hope you take the challenge. I think it would encourage us. Oh, to be a 1 out of 10 person, a thankful person, a grateful person. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord. So much to be thankful for. But I wonder this morning if you are leaving here as the recipient of every spiritual blessing in Christ. I wonder if you're leaving here this morning in Christ. Because you can. There's a power of sin over your heart and over your life that only Christ can cleanse, only He can wash away. When you're obedient to His gospel, like leprosy working on that fellow long ago, sin's been working on you and it must not continue. Confess your faith, Jesus is the Son of God. Turn from sin in your life. Be baptized this morning. That means immersed in water. To be in Christ, have your sins washed away, to be cleansed in Christ. If we can help you with that, if we can minister to any spiritual need, we invite you to come forward and make it known now. Together we stand and sing. Won't you come?